The COVID-19 pandemic has been a time of the blues. And for those talented individuals who play the music, it's been a time of regrouping. Hi, I'm Mercedes Mejia. We recently dropped in on a few of the artists who make the Albuquerque blues scene a vibrant one. In our first interview done remotely, Kent Patterson speaks with Memphis P-Tales bassist and artist, Jeff Sipe. He's been a regular at the weekly blues jams held at the historic Monta Vista Fire Station in Nob Hill and many other sessions in and around Burke.
Blues, blues, blues. Lord, the blues.
Jeff, how are you doing these days?
I'm doing pretty good. I'm missing the live music scene a whole bunch. I miss seeing all my friends and miss the nightlife and all the dancing girls and good times, but we got to get through this. It'll come back eventually.
Now, can you tell us a little bit about the jam sessions that have been canceled as a result of this pandemic in the Albuquerque area? There's the scene over at Monta Vista Fire Station in Nob Hill, and then a newer one out at the Cactus Brewery in Bernalillo, and you've played at both.
I've played at both of those. They've been shut down since early March, actually. And we're hoping that scene will come back because it's so much fun and we get to play with so many people we don't normally play with, and it's always an adventure. Sometimes the music is just amazing because you get some combinations that don't occur naturally in the local music scene. And one other jam I wanted to mention, over at Kill Check on Thursday night, Rudy Boy has a jam, and that's a great one, too. Those are probably the three best jams around Albuquerque.
Getting back to the jams, can you tell us what kind of synergies get created at these blues jams with the different musicians, you know, different instruments, mm-hmm. Vocalists coming in? What marks those as special, you know, in comparison to a regular gig that you might have at a club or some other venue?
Well, I think the main difference between a jam versus a rehearsed band is you have people from so many different influences. And even within the genre of the blues, people come from so many different styles and traditions. And then at the jams, you'll have people show up. Some of them are a little more on the R&B side or a little more country or a little more rock and roll. They bring different influences in. And there's always some unexpected things, but generally we can like roll with it and something will come out that's a little different from just a regular night with a band that rehearses all the time or plays every week. You get some surprises and some interesting combinations and interesting styles kind of coming together.
And Albuquerque, of course, attracts people from all over the country who relocate here for various reasons, plus the indigenous population here. You have a lot of indigenous musicians that are into the blues, right?
Oh, there's some great ones. Stanley Key, he's an excellent local guitar player, singer, and also Levi Platero is just outstanding. He's one of my favorite guitar players on the whole planet. He's incredible.
And you've jammed with them?
Yeah. They show up every once in a while on the Wednesday nights down at the Monta Vista. And it's always an honor and a pleasure to play some music with those guys.
And it must be interesting to play with musicians from Albuquerque and different places around the U.S., maybe the world. I don't know who you've all met, you know, at these jams, but you must have had some interesting experiences in getting to know these folks and their life backgrounds and where they're coming in their musical presentations.
Yeah, it's always very interesting. We've had musicians from Africa sit in at some of the jams and musicians from like Spain or South America and it's really interesting because everybody brings a little bit of their own culture. Even if we're all playing blues, everybody's got a little bit different understanding and things they went through and how they learned it. And then their environment influences their style of blues a little bit too.
Now, one part of your career also takes you outside of Albuquerque, and you've played at some important festivals around the country. Can you tell us about a couple of those and What is the status of those festivals? Have some of them been canceled because of the pandemic, or are some scheduled for later in the year and kind of waiting to see what will happen?
Most of the stuff is canceled this year. In April, I was going to drive out to Clarksdale, Mississippi. This would have been my 10th year at the Juke Joint Blues Festival in Clarksdale. But the COVID had a different plan for us, so I guess we'll have to wait till next year. But it's such a great festival. People from all over the country, all over the world show up over there. And then you've got like the deep roots of the Delta and also the Hill Country music, all the guys that come from Holly Springs and that part of Mississippi, and they got a different slant on things, and it all comes together. Everybody has such a great time. We all influence each other, and we all learn from each other too. So it's a beautiful thing. I felt so bad when it got canceled this year.
Tell us a little more about the Juke Joint Festival. Who are some of the musicians you've played with, and maybe a couple of the experiences you've had that stand out in your mind?
Okay, well, last year I played with Johnny Rawls, who's really a good kind of blues and Southern soul guy. I hadn't played with him before, but at the jams down there, like at the end of the festival, there's always a farewell jam on the Sunday night at Red's Blues Club, which is like, that's a legendary place. If you're a blues player, that's like playing at Madison Square Garden or something like that. That is just the coolest thing on the earth. But at the jams down there, I've played with Kingfish, and I've played with Watermelon Slim, a bunch of the local great guys. Razorblade, when he was still alive, he was a great singer from Clarksdale. And there's just a bunch of really good local ones. Terry Harmonica Bean, Mark Muleman Massey, guys that come up from South America, Carlos Elliott Jr. and Brian Blue. It's always a blast. And Reds, it's like a gateway to another dimension. You go in there and it's spiritual. You know, it's like a hole-in-the-wall, falling-apart bar, but there's a spiritual element to the whole thing.
It sounds like an amazing gathering, and that is one of the less-noted casualties, I guess, of COVID.
Yeah.
But people in the blues world know about this, don't they?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, they had a virtual, kind of virtual festival, and people were playing remotely from different parts of the world, and it was good. It was cool, but it helped us get through it. It's not the same as being down there.
What are you doing virtually these days? Have you been able to get some of your music out there on the internet? Are you continuing playing? What's going on with that?
Well, I about 3 weeks ago, I did a thing with one of my local musical cohorts, Joe Daddy Warner. And we used to have a duo called Joe Daddy and Hoodoo Jeff. And he played guitar and sang. I played bass. And we did percussion stuff with our feet. And we kind of had a reunion. And Vara Wines, they've been doing a kind of a virtual concert series with local musicians in the Albuquerque area. And so they sponsored us to play that. That was a lot of fun.
What has been the audience response to these virtual performances?
Well, it's been good. we get a lot of comments while we're playing, you know, like if it's live on Facebook or whatever, there's like a big chat happening. And then people tip virtually. You have like the virtual tip jar where it goes to PayPal or Venmo or one of those things. And people throw some money in the tip bucket. And we all get to, we still get to interact. We're not in the same space, but we still get to interact a little bit. And I've been watching some of the other virtual concerts online, and some friends of mine, like CW Ione down in Las Cruces, he's had some really good ones on Facebook. Galia Volt, a friend of mine from New Orleans. Bill Abel from Clarksdale. Ryan Lee Crosby from Boston area. They've all had some real outstanding virtual shows. They're kind of helping us survive this time with no live music.
Have you heard any feedback from fans, folks that would go out to Monta Vista every Wednesday night or once in a while, Cactus and so forth? Have you gotten any feedback and talked to some of these folks?
Yeah, I've run into a few of them just socially or online or talking on the phone or through art and stuff like that. And everybody's saying, when's it going to come back? You know, we're all ready. Everybody's chomping at the bit. We want to go out and hang out with our friends and have a couple drinks and hear a live band. And we're all hoping it'll happen before the end of the year. It's going to be very tricky with like the bars and restaurants can reopen, but it can only be like, I think 25% of the capacity or something like that. And then they have to have social distancing. So it'll be a while before there's live music again. I guess we just have to accept it and roll with it.
Folks really miss the scene, don't they?
They do. It's so much fun, you know, to go out and hang out with your friends and dance and have a couple drinks and hear the live music. And it's almost like church for the blues people. We go out and you see all your friends and family and interact and get your hugs and catch up on all the gossip and everything. And it's a beautiful thing.
Talk a little bit too about your work as an artist.
Uh-huh.
And if you have any kind of interface between the paintings you do and the blues you play, is there a relationship between the two, or are these two different processes you're engaging?
I think they're pretty interrelated. A lot of the artwork I do, it's about blues and jazz musicians, and it's kind of when I go out and play blues in the bars, I'm kind of doing research for the paintings that are coming up, trying to get the vibe and the colors and all that sort of thing. And I also do a lot of Day of the Dead kind of artwork, and usually that has to do with musicians too. So it's all kind of interrelated.
Can you tell us some of the names of blues artists you've painted?
Oh, man, I've painted lots of them. I painted Muddy Waters, Howlin' Wolf, Stevie Ray Vaughan, B.B. King, Professor Longhair, Thelonious Monk, Miles Davis, all kinds of them.
And when you get the inspirations of being around the blues scene for your paintings, what are some of the scenes that come to mind and some of the human interactions that are going on?
Well, it's about fun, there's always a little bit of drama in the bars, you know, like people are flirting and trying to figure out, you know, who likes who and who's available and who will dance if you ask them, you know, and all that kind of thing going on. So it's just part of the human drama that's unfolding in there, but it's cool and dark and everybody had a few drinks, so there's a deeper element of truth than you find in a lot of life, I think.
Really, the blues scene is one musical scene that really is suited for bars and clubs, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It works best in like an intimate kind of setting. You know, like I've played like some big stages and big festivals and things like that, and it's all right. It's fun, you know. But if you're playing in a little bar and everybody's into it, everybody's dancing, everybody's ready to have a good time, that's the best feeling in the world. It doesn't get any better than that.
Look out!
You can find out more about Jeff Sipe on Facebook at JD Sipe, S-I-P-E, and JD Sipe Folk Art. Albuquerque's Sherry Gonzalez is another regular at the Monte Vista Jams. Kent Patterson had this conversation with a local singer-musician who was becoming known nationally when the COVID-19 crisis struck.
The first question I have is, can you tell us a little bit about your journey to the blues? How did you get there?
So that started in about 2003. I was in a community band. At the time, it was called La Rondalla del Museo del Albuquerque. And it was a community band that was put together for the Albuquerque Museum. And one of the gentlemen that I was in the band with had a son who played blues music. And they suggested that I connect with the son to see if I'd enjoy singing with him, and that pretty much started me on this whole journey.
Now, prior to playing the blues and when you were with La Rondalla de Albuquerque, you were playing a different type of music. Can you tell us about that?
So that group was a folk music group, and it was mainly Spanish songs, from different parts of Latin America and Spain. And it also did a lot of English folk songs, a lot of protest songs, This Land Is Your Land. It was a lot of different types of music that we sang, and there wasn't any blues in it.
So how did you make that transition to the blues? Did you find that some of the styles you were playing before, you know, kind of just slid into it? Or did you have to practice a lot, learn a lot of new songs? How did that work?
So I grew up with a very, very, very broad music catalog that my parents and my grandparents introduced me to. So I grew up around blues music. I grew up around Spanish music. I grew up around protest songs and gospel and rock and so much type of music. So it wasn't anything that was new for me. One of the big things is that I did have to learn a new genre because I grew up playing violin and cello. So that was classical music. And so that was the biggest leap. It wasn't really from other types of music that I was singing, such as the church choir. It was mostly the transitioning from a more professional orchestral and classical music style to a very loose kind of, blues is structured, but it's a much more loose way of doing music.
Now you of course sing too, and you're one of the best singers on the blues scene these days in Albuquerque. Did that take some work to get to that point? Or you've been singing a lot before you got into the blues scene in 2003?
So I've been singing even while I was an infant. My great grandma, she used to pinch my feet just because she likes the way I cried. So she would pinch my feet a lot and have me cry a lot. But I've been singing ever since I could remember.
Okay. What are some of the blues artists that inspired you when you started in this genre?
One of the big blues artists was Jimmy Reed. His music really, really touched me. The way that he delivered it, I really, really connected with his style of playing and his style of how he recorded. So Jimmy Reed was a big one.
How about some of the local musicians you've met at the Monta Vista Blues Jam, for example, and the interactions you've had with those folks? Have you learned some from them and also taught them?
So I learned so much from the people around me. I have a philosophy that you don't have to be the best technical musician. You just have to do it from the heart. And you can play one note and that can move people. So really, I think one of my biggest teachers was Darren Golston of the Memphis P-Tales. He has a lot of heart when he plays. I've learned from every single musician that I've had the honor of playing with. There's Darren, there's J.D. Sipe, drummers Mark McKenna. I started with John Edwards. So all of these musicians really helped support me and really taught me a lot about what the blues scene is here in Albuquerque and what blues means.
Now, you were a real regular performer at Monta Vista before the shutdown. What are you missing about that jam in particular these days?
What I miss about it is really my friends, the camaraderie. It was a place where we all got together to play music, and it didn't matter where you're from, what you do, who you are. You came there to play music, and that is a really big connector of people. And so I miss the camaraderie. I miss my friends. I miss even those who we may have a little bit of tension. I miss them too, because this all fuels me. Music is part of my soul. And even if it's a player that we may not get along in the face-to-face, like regular talking mode, we still have a music connection. So that's really what I miss, is my friends and that connection.
I'm added to your change.
Is there anything about this particular time that has inspired you musically? Have you been thinking about doing any new songs? Or maybe some old songs that come to mind being in this period of time we're living in?
So I think what's really inspired me is all the people out there putting out short videos in their isolation. I've been watching, the biggest artist I've been watching is Norah Jones, and the way she does it is completely inspirational to me, because it's not the best setting, it's not the best sound, it's not the best, you know, in tune piano. It's very raw, and that really speaks to me. I've been learning a few new songs, songs about heartbreak, songs about love, and the COVID has made me really think about how to connect with my fans in a different way, and how to connect with my music in a different way. And it's made me practice the guitar, because I'll be honest, I'm not a guitarist. Guitar is just a totally weird instrument to me. Like, I'm used to playing cello, I'm used to playing violin. So that's been inspirational, is just to see people out there doing it, no matter their comfort level, no matter their skill level, they're just doing it and putting music out there just to connect with people.
How about your fans? Have your fans been connecting with you?
Oh, yeah. I put out two videos already. I called them the Messy Hair Pajama Jam, because at the beginning of the COVID pandemic stay-at-home orders, I just stopped combing my hair. I have super long hair, and I'm just like, hey, I'm not doing nothing. I'm not going anywhere. So I had just so messy hair, and I really didn't care. And so I was in my pajamas all the time, just like a lot of other people. And I put out what was called the Messy Hair Pajama Jam. And so I have two songs out there that I just play guitar and I sing with messy hair in my pajamas.
Hello. Welcome to the first video of my Messy Hair Pajama Jam. I'm going to do a song by Jimmy Reed, Baby What You Want Me to Do. This is the first blues song I'd ever performed publicly, and now it's going to be the first song of my Messy Hair Pajama Jam. I hope you enjoy.
Sherry, can you tell us what you think makes the Albuquerque blues scene in particular special? You know, what gives it its own characteristic, regional flavor?
What I think that makes it really special is that we have so much talent here, and it's so much talent that's kind of bursting at the seams, just waiting to explode. We have such a beautiful climate and such beautiful weather and such beautiful, just everything about our Albuquerque and our New Mexico. And I can see this Chicana flavor in our blues music here, no matter where your background is. So it gives a really, really interesting mix that I haven't seen before, or haven't seen in other blues places.
I wanted to talk a little bit about how your day job of being a public health professional intersects with your musical life, and how matters of social justice come into the blues. How do you see that?
So my day job, I enroll people in public benefits. So my main duty is to give pregnant people and children emergency Medicaid when they are experiencing emergencies or urgent situations that need medical detention right away. They still have to qualify and meet the requirements. But I think it intersects very well because I look at blues and I see that that's our, in my opinion, that's our classical music, is jazz and the blues. And the blues sings a lot about pain and heartache. It sings about what's happening to that person in that time. And I think it lends itself very well to, well, it, to me, it was one of the creations, or one of the ways it was created is as an expression. And so I see that, like this week with the protests happening because of the murder of George Floyd, it's a way to get things out there and to express yourself that people of color and poor people and people without economic resources, they've got them in the guitar. It really, really, to me, is a way to get that out there and express yourself and express your pain and express that anger and that frustration as to what's happening.
Do you think maybe in a year from now, we'll look back at this time as a period that allowed for a lot of creativity to flourish?
I absolutely agree with that. I think this is a really great time for creativity to flourish because there's not a lot else to do. And this is kind of what humans do. We take times like this and make something absolutely beautiful.
Have you had any thoughts about what the music scene in Albuquerque may look like a few months from now?
I still think it's going to be very sparse because unfortunately we're not past this. We're not past this crisis yet. Our numbers, while they're going down, it's not decreasing that we're at all past this, even in a few months. And I don't want to even think about what a second wave might look like. So I'm hoping that we can all get together once we, how do I put this? Once that it's more safe to do so. I think that it's going to pretty much pick up where it was because you can't stop us musicians. You can't stop us from getting together. You may be able to close down venues. You may be able to make it economically unsustainable for musicians to even live on music alone, but you can't stop us from playing. You can't stop us from getting together and do that which we love.
Based on your conversations with your fellow musicians, the folks you play with, that you jam with, where do you think people's spirits, the musicians of Albuquerque, are at this time in terms of enduring this crisis and carrying on, as you say, with the unstoppable music?
I think their spirits, while dampened by this, I think it's very much still vibrant. I think all of our spirits are still vibrant to continue the music, regardless of if we're at home or wherever we are in our shelter in place. I think you can't stop our spirits. I think most people are still in good spirits. I don't see a tremendous loss of hope. It's just a little bit of sadness because we're isolated. We're used to getting together and sharing an energy that you almost can't get anywhere else. I've never experienced the type of energy that I have with music, and you can't stop that. Our spirits are still there.
Are there a couple of blues songs maybe that have resonated for you during this particular time that stand out?
I think one of the big blues songs that's, and it's not necessarily a blues song, but it's the Nina Simone song that she wrote called Mr. Backlash, because this is really bringing out the economic disparities and showing them in plain sight that our people around this country, people of color, Black people, brown people, Native people, it really is showing us those economic disparities. And I think that song there really highlights what's going on in the world. and I really don't like that it holds true today. But Mr. Backlash by Nina Simone, that's one of them that it unites our African American family, our Chicano Chicana family, our Native family. And I know I've changed the words to that song when I sing it, but I think that's the song that really rings true to me right now.
So this song was written by Langston Hughes not too long before he died. It was put together to music by Miss Nina Simone. Do it a little different than she does. And I'm actually really, really sad that it applies today. War's a little different, but nothing in it is. Mr. Backlash, Mr. Backlash, just who do you think you are? You raise my taxes, freeze my wages, send my sons to Iraq. You give me second-class housing and second-class schools. Do you think that all poor folk are just second-class fools? When I'm trying to find a job to earn a little cash, all you got to offer is your mean old rich backlash. Mr. Backlash, Mr. Backlash, just who do you think you are? The world is big, a big running round, full of folks like you and me, yellow webbies running round. Mr. Backlash, Mr. Backlash, Mr. Backlash, yeah. Just who do you think you are?
You can listen and learn more about Sherry Gonzalez on Facebook. That's SHERRI at Sherry Baby Sings and at Reverb Nation.
Rock me all night long. I want you to rock me, baby. Rock me all night long. I want you to rock me, baby, like my back ain't got no bone.
Singer Raven Rutherford had emerged in recent years as a powerful voice in the Albuquerque music scene. We turn to this conversation she had with Kent Patterson.
Well, to tell you the truth, I feel, I guess, sort of like that, you know, that little blow up thing that blows up and stands on the floor and it goes back and forth. You punch it and it goes back and forth. You know,
yeah.
It's like, you know, I've kind of been going back and forth emotionally. And mentally, I would say, because there's so much going on, and I think you have these conversations with yourself to try and calm down, you know, because your mind is kind of like in shock, and then once it comes out of the shock, and then you start, you know, it kind of becomes reactionary, and so then you have to talk to yourself and get to a place of peace, so that you can function on a more even keel and less emotional, because there's so much going on and so much to deal with, and it's a continuum.
How does music figure into this picture in helping you cope?
I guess the past 5 or 6 years, the music really has been my stabilizing factor, because I was diagnosed with cancer about 5 years ago, and then it came back 2 years ago. But it was the music that helped me cope through that. I didn't know how I was going to get through it all, so I decided I was going to sing my way through it. So here came the music, and at the beginning it was the blues.
Can you do it? Can you do it? Can you rock me, baby? Rock me all night long.
don't care. All right, then.
I wanted to go back a little bit to the beginning of your musical journey. And you would tell me about your grandmother, Alberta Bowers.
Yes.
I believe her name was African. You described her as an African indigenous woman originally from Kentucky.
Yes.
Who then moved to Omaha, Nebraska. And can you tell us the importance of her music to your upbringing and how that influenced you?
Well, the biggest part of it was my grandmother, she was quite the singer. She was married to a minister, and a Pentecostal minister. And so, of course, I grew up in the church singing. My grandmother sang, and my grandmother was a great, her favorite vocalist was Mahalia Jackson. And so she constantly had Mahalia Jackson music playing over the records. And she was a very spiritual woman. And my grandmother would, when things were troubling her, she'd be out in the kitchen cooking or folding laundry, or just even in the yard, because my grandparents, they had chickens. And so she might even be out in the yard. And she'd sing these old spirituals. And, you know, she just, when, and I could really tell when, I didn't know then, but looking back, I could tell when something was really bothering her, because she would just go way down inside of herself. And she just would just explode with this music, like, oh, 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 Lord. You know, and she, you know, she'd go on and on like that until, I guess, things got better inside of herself. And so when I started singing, I kind of came from that same place, because the music would impact me in a way, and it would pack me way down in my soul, my most inner being. And so when I got this breast cancer, I just pulled from that place. Nearly with every song that I sing, I pull from a place where it strikes me in a particular way, in a personal way. So that's kind of how my songs come out when I sing them. I'm singing them from a very personal place, if that makes sense.
Obviously, she had a major, major influence on your entry into music. And then later on, you moved to Albuquerque, right? And meet a number of people you were telling me about who've also been influential. There was a friend of yours named Vicente, correct?
Oh,
right,
who
brought
yes.
you to a blues jam.
Yes, that's actually how
Can you tell us a little
started,
bit about him?
Even in the blues jam was Vicente. You know, I just love music. And so usually when there's music playing, I'm humming or singing. And I just so happened to be a vendor at an event. And Vicente was playing there with, who later became a good friend of mine, Joe Warner. And so I was just kind of singing along with the songs. And so then Vicente comes over and says, oh, he says, you're a singer. I'm like, no, I'm not, because I have a pie company. That's what I do. And so he said, yes, you're a singer. He says, you should come out to these jam sessions. And I said, you know, I don't really have time for that. But if you give me the information, maybe I'll have a chance to come out. And so he wrote it down on, wrote the days that the jam session was, the time and where. So I put it in my basket, and I guess almost a year and a half later, I was going through that same basket. I had gotten my diagnosis of breast cancer, and I saw that serviette with malarkey and the time for the jam session, and I knew one blues song, and so I went there and I sang it, and I was really amazed at the response that I got, and not only amazed at the response, I was amazed at how the music made me feel, because I was really in a lot of distress. I was in pain. I was worried. You know, cancer is really an alarming. You know, I don't even really have a lot of words for my cancer experience. I have a lot of emotion about it. So the music allowed me to emote my most inner and my fears, my joys, my hopes. It just allowed me to emote everything that I was feeling. And so I just started chasing the music around, going to just jam sessions everywhere, until Jeff Sipe suggested that I start my own band, and he became my bass player. So, and the rest, I guess, is kind of history.
So Raven, you were commenting about how you've been to a lot of jam sessions in Albuquerque. What is the value for a musician like yourself of a jam session as opposed to rehearsing with the same people constantly and presenting in public?
Well, one of the things about the jam session for myself is that you never know who you're going to be jamming with. So you have to be sharp. You have to listen. You have to actually be on your best game in terms of listening, because it's these people are not people that you've rehearsed with. And so you have to be able to be flexible. I always say that I never have crashing bends, because they talk about crashing bends in music, that the music was, you know, you crash and bend. I said, well, I never crash and bend. I said, we might land with sparks, but we're going to have a safe landing, which means that I'm not going to sing a bad song if I can at all help it, because I'm going to be listening to where my musicians are going. Whoever's accompanying me, that's where I have to go, you know, as a vocalist, in order for everybody to come out on a very, as you would have it, a good note.
And you were telling me that shortly before the pandemic, a new blues jam session opened up in Albuquerque a couple months before the pandemic hit at Frank's Famous Chickens and Waffles, correct?
Yes.
Tell us a little bit about Frank's.
Well, me and my band, we host it every Tuesday, and Frank's is our, I would say, our premier chicken and waffle place here in Albuquerque. They have, you know, soul food, red beans and rice, collard greens, mac and cheese. And we started doing a Tuesday evening jam session, which was really starting to grow before the pandemic hit. Frank's new place is over on Washington and Zuni. And so we were there every night from, every Tuesday from 6 to 8:30. We were there.
During the- and you all were rudely interrupted.
Rudely. Yes, the pandemic just took over. I'm a little concerned about the immediacy of opening everything up so quickly with this pandemic going on. And it's just, I mean, it's a bit frightening to me. We don't even have any, we didn't have any type of cure for this as of yet. So that's, you know, alarming. And then we have all, you know, the social unrest. And that has just been, that's just been horrendous, actually. You know, to see, you know, such cruelty and see the lack of humanity towards another person. I mean, it, it's been a lot. And then not have the music so that I can express some of this. But I'm better. I'm not, at least I'm not eating my way through it.
Well, yeah, there's a lot on everyone's plate right now, pardon the pun, right?
Yes.
And
yes.
Or there isn't. It seems to be one extreme or the other. So I'm wondering, you also have a pie company, right?
I do.
And how have you been managing that through the pandemic? And has that affected your music in any way? Just the relationship and the uncertainty of what is happening economically?
Yeah, it has. It's affected every aspect. It's affected my pie company because, of course, people are not coming out. And whether people are coming out, you're not so certain that you want to be around them. So it's been a constant readjusting.
Raven, can you tell us what you miss most about the regular blues jams, like the jam at the Monta Vista?
Well, I mostly miss seeing my musician friends there and doing the music. That is what I really, really miss, is the music, is just being able to sing. I miss that. I miss that immensely. And sing with friends. I miss it. I miss it like the desert misses the rain. I just think we need a revival of life in general, Kent. You know, we need to find our humanity and find the things that are most, that are most important. You know, music is such a lovely gift. That's one of the gifts of life, just like good food, good friends. You know, all those things go together, and I don't think that we've cherished them and taken care of them, because if we had, just on the humanity side, we wouldn't have this whole business going on in Minnesota. And you know what I mean? It's every people, we need to rethink and go within ourselves and find the real meaning of life.
Listeners can check out Raven Rutherford and her Sweet Potato Pie Band on Facebook. Beating the COVID Blues was produced by Kent Patterson, Marty Adams Smith, and myself. Special thanks go out to KUNM Radio Albuquerque and station music director Matthew Finch. This program was made possible in part by the City of Albuquerque Cultural Services Department and the Urban Enhancement Trust Fund. The producers of this program are solely responsible for its contents. I'm Mercedes Mejia. Thanks for listening. We'll catch you next time.